you dedicate a day in honor of mothers, there's just not enough hours in the day. And I know you don't want to sit here and hear me rambling on when you could be at home with your family and enjoy Mother's Day together. So with the time that I have, I'll just give you my outline this morning, and you can fill in the blanks with experiences from your own life. I'm going to read from Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. We're only going to deal with those verses, but I'd urge you to read the first 10 verses when you get time, as King Lemuel's mother had some very good advice for all of us. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hands behold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We come here to give you honor and glory, and also to honor those that you do honor. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for godly women that have been there through the ages, dear Heavenly Father, willing to sacrifice and do your will. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to honor them properly. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're here to honor mothers this morning, but I just want to mention before we go on with that the single women or single people should not be left out. Every one of us is the product of a mother, and we all have mothers to honor. But we find in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, that there are things that a single person can do for God that a married person cannot do. And we have examples of that here at Ferris, don't we? Liz Curtis Higgs says, the ideal woman was described 2,500 years ago in Proverbs 31 and is still intimidating her sisters ever since. 8-year-old Carol wrote her mother and said on a card, I bought you a box of candy and here it is. It is very good candy. I know because I've already eaten 3 pieces. 8-year-old Mary wrote her mother and said, here are two aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day. Ladies, 2 aspirins enough? Let's look at quickly this ideal mother as described in Proverbs 31. First of all, she is a master of all trades. She sews, she shops, she cooks, she farms. Praise God for the ideal women who are willing to go the extra mile. Soyi and I have worked in at least seven different churches throughout the years, and it's hard to name all of the wonderful women who have been the adhesive to hold some of these churches together. In verse 21, there's an interesting point. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. Did you realize this woman was from Michigan? She is praised and honored, and it extends beyond her own family. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she giveth forth her hands to the needy. At the Michigan Christian Convention this year, a small congregation from up north had a workshop on how it reaches its community. And their main mission is to help others. That's the main mission of the church, is to do what they could for other people. And they said it's not for the benefit of the church. It's because there are needy people in the community and people that are hurting. And they said they did it because they felt this is what Christ would do. There are many works attributed to the godly woman in Proverbs 31. So she is to be praised for her works. It also says she is to be praised for her words. I like it, the fact in Proverbs that only speaks of the positives, but we know that negative words have their effect also. The third chapter of James, we read about how destructive the tongue can be. If there were statistics, and there aren't, I'm sure, of all of the destructive and devastating things that words have done through the years, I think we would just all sigh in horror at what words can do. Proverbs 19:13 says, "And the quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping." And then in Proverbs 25:24, it says, "It's better to live on the corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife." She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Preacher G. Campbell Morgan had four sons, and they all became ministers of the gospel. One time when they were all together at a family get-together, one of their friends asked one of those sons, "Which of the Morgans is the best preacher?" And the son looked at his father and said, "My mother." His mother, how many times can that be said? Once in the New York Times was asked to help a group of club women decide on the 12 greatest women in the United States. After the consideration, the editor said the 12 greatest women in the United States are women who have never been heard of outside of their own homes. And how true that is. How do you ever decide? With all of the wonderful wives and mothers and women out there, who would be the greatest? The author concludes, "I ask you, who was greater, Thomas Edison or his mother? When he was a young lad, his teacher sent home a note which said, 'Your child is dumb. We can't do anything with him.' The mother wrote back, 'You don't understand my boy. I will teach him at home myself.'" And we all know the results of that. She is honored and praised because of her attitude and her heart. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Philippians 2:5 says, "Our attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. He took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself. He became obedient even unto death." Philippians 2:15 concludes with, "We should shine like stars in the universe." The King James says, "We should become like lights in the world." She is compassionate in her attitude. When God created women, He created them with a compassionate heart. What a great quality that blesses everyone. I thank God that He has blessed me with a wife who is sensitive to the needs and feelings of others. She daily sets the example and standard in our home. A Christian woman is like Christ in so many ways. She is more concerned about the well-being of others than she is her own welfare. A young mother was traveling across South Wales carrying a tiny baby when she was suddenly overtaken by a fierce snowstorm. The woman never reached her destination. When the storm subsided, a large search party went out looking for her and the child. They discovered the woman dead from exposure, but to their surprise, the baby was still alive. The child's mother had taken out her outer garments, bundled the child inside those garments, huddled over the child, protect him with the warmth of her own body. She gave her life to save the life of her child. Years later, the child, David Lloyd George, grew to become Prime Minister of Great Britain, one of England's greatest statesmen. Reminds us very much of the sacrifice that God has made for us, hasn't it? The sacrifice of His Son on the cross of Calvary, that we might have eternal salvation. Thank God for mothers, for godly mothers. Thank God for the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're outside of Christ this morning, our invitation to you is to accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. One of the greatest gifts that you can give to your mother or to anyone else is to give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and to humbly submit fully to Him by believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, by repenting of your sin, by confessing Him before men, and by being buried with Him in the watery grave of Christian baptism. Won't you come as we stand and sing our invitation?